The reason we are reconciled to God, the reason that in Christ we have peace with Him, is not that as Christians we have come to be without sin. It is that in Christ, God does not count our sins against us.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, it sounds like we're in for a message of hope today, because all of us, if we're honest, will realize that we still continue to battle with sin even after we become believers. And it sounds like we're in for a message of encouragement and hope.
We really are. And we get to the very heart of the gospel today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. God was reconciling the world to Himself. How? Not counting men's sins against them. It's not that I've got beyond the point where there's anything in my life that needs to be changed. There are many things in every Christian's life that continue to need to be addressed and changed. The wonderful thing is God does not count sins against His people. You say, how in the world can He do that and still be just?
Yeah.
And the answer is that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Steve, this is the heart of the heart of the heart of the gospel. It is dead center. And to get this clear is really the fountain of a Christian's joy and the fountain of a Christian's hope.
Well, let's get right in to our message today. As Pastor Colin has said, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we continue the message, the heart of the gospel. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, to those who reconcile with God through Jesus Christ, three wonderful things are true. Here's how God deals with us in Jesus Christ. First thing is that God does not count your sins against you. And that's in verse 19. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Now, please understand this, because it's very important to having peace when the enemy accuses you and your own heart condemns you. The reason we are reconciled to God, the reason that in Christ we have peace with Him, is not that as Christians we have come to be without sin. It is that in Christ, verse 19, God does not count our sins against us. Now that raises the question, if God doesn't count your sins against you, where do these sins go? Where are these sins counted on the ledger of divine justice? And the answer to that question is in our verse, verse 21, that God counts your sin dealt with in Christ. And these two truths wonderfully stand together. And that's why it says here, for our sake, He made Him to be sin. Jesus was made sin on the cross. And this is surely one of the most amazing statements in the whole Bible, that the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, God the Son, God in the flesh, was made sin for us as our sins were laid on Him. That's exactly 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 19 and 21. Why would it be that our sins are no longer counted against us? Answer, because they're no longer on us. Where are they now? You're in Christ. And they have been laid on Him who was made sin for us, which is at the very heart of all that He was suffering and all that He was enduring on the cross. Isaiah puts it like this, our sins were laid on Him. The Lord laid on Him the iniquities of us all. Horatius Bonar says it like this, God dealt with Him, Jesus, as if He were really a sinner, such as we are. Treated Him as if all iniquity was centered in Him. The Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was clothed with our guilt. He bore the burden of our iniquities. In all respects, the Father dealt with him as guilty of our transgressions. When Satan brings your sins to mind, when your own heart condemns you, when you become aware as a Christian believer of just how far you have yet to go as a follower of Jesus Christ, remember this so that you will have peace. It's so important so that you do not lose heart. Your sins were laid on him. And I love that verse in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. You know the one that says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. What does it say next? And just. Wouldn't you think that it would say he's faithful and kind or faithful and generous to forgive us our sins? That's not what it says. It says he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Why does it say the word just? Because our peace with God is founded on this free gift of grace that rests on the foundation of God's justice. God has not dealt with us by sort of sweeping our sins under the carpet, so to speak, so that if one day the carpet was lifted up, they might all get stirred up and come into view again. That's not how he's done it. No, God has dealt with our sins in Jesus Christ. They were laid on him. The spotless Lamb of God was made sin for us. He died in our place, and he became the sacrifice for us. God made him who had no sin to be sin, and he did it for us. Now, friends, I've said that this is the epicenter of what God accomplished in Jesus Christ at the cross. And please understand this, because some of you read widely and you think deeply. Please understand this, that precisely because it is the epicenter of what God has done for us in Christ, because it is so important, it will always, always, always be disputed. Always. James Denny says this about the great truth that's at the heart of the gospel that we're looking at today. He says it's at the heart of the gospel, and just because it is so, it has always been felt to be critical, alike by those who welcome and by those who reject it. And you will know that there are folks out there who will write and who will think and will say, how is it possible for guilt to be transferred from one to another? These are categories that no longer seem relevant to the modern world, and so forth and so on. So let me read to you from Spurgeon, because this really made me smile, because he's writing in the 19th century. And so I just want you to know nothing ever changes. In the 19th century, Spurgeon says this, in the church and out of the church, there is a deadly animosity to this truth. Isn't that interesting? In the 19th century. Modern thought, he says, that's modern 19th century thought, modern thought labors to get away from what is obviously the meaning of the Holy Spirit, that sin was lifted from the guilty and laid on the innocent. It is written, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's Isaiah 53. This is as plain language as can be. But if any plainer language was required, here it is. He has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. And then later in classic Spurgeon style, he adds this. I do not care whether it is impossible or not with learned unbelievers. It is evidently possible with God, for he has done it. I love that. I love that. That's what the scripture's saying. This is what he's done. Let folks crab away as they wish with regards to what cannot be done. Spurgeon says, the Bible tells me this is what God has done. And friends, here's why this is so important and so critical for all of us. If your sins are not on Jesus, where in the world are they? There's only one other place that they can be if your sins are not on Jesus, and that is on you, because you're the person who's done them. You're the person who's responsible for them. So if the transference of guilt were to be impossible, redemption itself would be impossible. And here's the great good news of the gospel, that our sins, when we are in Jesus Christ, are not on us and can never be on us, because they are on Jesus Christ and they were dealt with at the cross in full, completely paid. It is finished. It is done. Now, when you feel that you're so discouraged about your lack of progress, here's where you're going to find the ability not to lose heart. Looking up into the face of God who loves you, Father and Son, accomplishing your redemption in the cross through what is beautifully described here in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. So I love that verse of the hymn, "It is well with my soul, my sin." Oh, the bliss of this glorious thought, that my sin, not in part, but the whole, what happened to it? It's nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Not on me, nailed to the cross. Therefore, praise the Lord, it is well with my soul. So here's the heart of how God saves a person in Jesus Christ. He lays your sin on Jesus, and he deals with your sin in Jesus, so that on the cross, the righteous judgment that would have been yours fell on him. He absorbed it, he exhausted it, and the flaming sword was broken on him as far as you are concerned, so that you should be reconciled completely to God. How could any sin ever be charged to you or ever counted against you, when in the justice of the Almighty, it has already been charged against Jesus and he died for it?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called The Heart of the Gospel, part of a series, Don't Lose Heart. And we're going to pause here, but we'll get back to this look at 2 Corinthians 5 in just a moment. So hope you'll stay with us. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station, make the podcast and the app available because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book Pastor Colin has chosen. It's written by Phil Ryken, and it's called I Have My Doubts: How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. In this book, Ryken takes a look at some of the different Bible characters who had doubts: Eve, Sarah, Moses, Thomas, and of course Peter. And he takes a look at how these different Bible characters struggled with different kinds of doubt. We'd love to send you a copy of I Have My Doubts as our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or again, our website is openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
God not counting our sins against us, and God counting your sin dealt with in Christ. And here's the third thing, third wonderful reality for every person who's in Christ, that God counts Christ's righteousness as yours. He made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In himself, Jesus is the sinless Son of God, but our sins were laid on him, and God dealt with him as if he were sin itself. And here we are in ourselves sinners, but God's righteousness has been draped on us because we are in Christ, and so God deals with us as if we were righteousness itself. God dealt with Christ as he deals with sin, even though Christ is holy. And God deals with us in Christ as he deals with righteousness, even though we are sinners. And in Jesus, we become the righteousness of God. I love that phrase. The righteousness of God. Paul uses it in Philippians in that wonderful passage where he says, I want to be found in Christ. Same theme. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes by works of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Why faith? Because faith is the way in which we are bonded to Christ. Faith, believing, is the way in which we come to be in Christ. And all these wonderful things are true of us in Christ. When we believe, when we have faith in Christ, when we're in Christ, God not counting your sins against you, God having dealt with your sins in Christ at the cross, and God counting Christ's righteousness as yours. So here's the question. Are you believing in Jesus? The question is not how much progress have you made in your life as you kind of examine yourself internally, which is an important thing to do from time to time. When you examine yourself and sometimes you're discouraged and you lose heart and the Holy Spirit lifts your mind up to Christ, the question is, are you believing in Jesus? Sometimes a Christian person may say something like this, well, you know, I would feel more sure about having peace with God if I prayed more, or if I was more holy, or if I had made more progress. But you see, at that point where you say, well, I would have peace with God if I was further advanced in the Christian life, you see what you're saying? You're not at that point looking to be found in Him with the righteousness from God. What you're trying to do is to do exactly what Paul says he did not want to do, which is to have a righteousness of your own according to the law that's based on praying a lot and being more holy and making lots of progress. Paul says, that's exactly what I don't want to do. I want to be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own, but that which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Because if I attempt to establish my own standing before God on my progress in the Christian life, I'll always lose heart, always lose heart. That would be true even for the Apostle Paul, let alone folks like us. And that's why it's in Christ that I know that I have peace with God, because it's in Christ that my sins are not counted against me. It's in Christ that my sins are dealt with, and it's in Christ that I am draped with the very righteousness of God. Thank God that He deals with us in Christ. Last couple of minutes, just this. What difference will it make in your life this week if you really believe these truths that we've been looking at today? If you really believe what we've been looking at today, what difference will it actually practically make in your life? Let me tell you this. If you really believe what we've been looking at today, you will love Jesus Christ. You really will. God looks on us in Him, blesses us in Him, loves us in Him, will glorify us in Him. We are complete in Him. We are sunk without Him. And we have all things in Him. And if you really believe that, you will love Jesus Christ. And the more you believe it, the more you will love Him. And you'll no longer be in a position of seeing worship as a sort of formal kind of a thing. There'll be a love for Christ that's like a glowing fire that's increasing in your heart because you really believe who He is and what He's done and that all your good is in Him, and apart from Him you have no good thing. And if you really believe this, you will take sin more seriously. Believing this will actually lead to more good change in your life. Why? Because you'll take sin seriously. You'll say, look what this did to Jesus. Look how much God hates this. And because I now believe what we've been learning from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, I believe it. I can no longer drift along in a compromised life that sort of accommodates certain sins that I've said, well, they're just habitual and they're just mine. I can't do that because I've come to love this Christ. And I've come to see what sin is. And there's a new energy that will come into your life in the pursuit of holiness. This is the extraordinary thing. That when people try to make their pursuit of holiness the great thing that they'll offer to God, it actually cuts the thing at the root. But when you see that all your good is in Jesus Christ, you're actually energized in the pursuit of holiness. It's amazing. And here's the third thing. If you really believe this, you will be reconciled to God. Because if you believed this, how could you possibly go out and say, I am not going to walk with God. I am going to walk my own independent way. How could you possibly do that if you were to believe this? To believe that in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting men's sins against them, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation so that we are ambassadors for Christ and God's making his appeal through us, imploring you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. God did all this on his side. In order to be in this position today of reaching out to you in love and saying, be reconciled to me. There's no reason why your sins, some or all of them, should be counted against you. When Jesus Christ is provided as a Savior for you, a unique and a glorious Savior, and he came and he did all this to reconcile you to God, why would you be walking away not committed to Jesus Christ as his disciple and as a believer today? Why would you do that? Be reconciled to God. Why? Because for our sake, he made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
What a great way to wrap up today's message and this series, Don't Lose Heart, by looking at how God deals with those who are reconciled to him through Jesus. I hope that you can count yourself as one who has been reconciled to God. But maybe as you've been listening to this series or even today's broadcast, you have questions about what that means, or you're ready to begin that relationship with God through his son Jesus, then I hope you'll contact us here at Open the Bible. We'd love to talk with you. Our toll-free number is 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365. Or you may want to go back and listen to the series again. It's called Don't Lose Heart, and you can order a copy online at openthebible.org or ask about it when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We can't do what we do without your generosity, so thank you for financially supporting Open the Bible. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Reichen's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, what is something that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think the first thing is probably the subtitle, which I think is full of hope. How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. I think that's marvelous. And there's a profound truth here that when we endure dark experiences of doubt, that God can actually work in and through these to bring us to a stronger faith. And so perhaps someone listening right now is thinking, oh, I think I'm maybe like Judas who betrayed Jesus. Well, think about Peter, who also denied his faith, but then was wonderfully restored and became a pillar of the church. So you need to know that your doubts may be the very thing that God will use to strengthen your faith. And this book, I think, very practically will help you to deal with your doubts. It'll equip you to walk through the struggle and to see how God can work redemptively for your good and for his glory.
Well, we want to say thank you for your financial gift in supporting Open the Bible this month by sending you a copy of this book. Again, it's called I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
At Open the Bible, we're grateful for like-minded organizations committed to sharing the gospel around the world. And to that end, I'd like to commend the work of Global Fingerprints. You know, in the book of James, God calls us to help orphans in their distress. That's a clear command, but it's not always clear how we should obey it. And this is where Global Fingerprints comes in. Through Global Fingerprints, you can sponsor a vulnerable child to help meet their physical needs and ensure they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to commend Global Fingerprints to you. They're focused on equipping the local church to care for children, and where there is no church, they help to plant one. If you'd like to help a vulnerable child, you can find more information on Global Fingerprints at our website, openthebible.org/GF. That's openthebible.org/GF.